Yeah, wonderful song. That was a perfect song to start the message with, Tom. Speaking of God's grace to us and how wonderful our salvation is. Amen. And I just wanted to think about our salvation and the wonderful changes that God has brought upon us since we've been saved. I like to use Paul's writings to go forward with this. And I just have a couple of trivia questions for you this morning. So when Paul writes his epistles, he always puts Paul a blank. He always gives himself a title. Or his focus as he for an opener for his letters, and all except for two books he does not do that. Does anybody know which pair of books that Paul does not do that in?
Hebrews.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna leave Hebrews out. We're gonna leave because Paul doesn't mention that. But actually, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, because Paul mentions Paul and he mentions immediately Sylvanus and Timothy. He doesn't mention anything. But the most common phrase that Paul, or the most common characteristic Paul uses is what? Paul and Apostle. He uses that on almost all of them, except there are three books that he uses something different on. And those books are Romans, Philippians, and Titus. What does he use?
Bondservant.
Paul, a bondservant. And there's one exception to that, and that's the book I'd like to turn to this morning. And which book is that? That Paul gives himself a description that's not one that's already mentioned. There's one of them. I can give you the word, and you can tell me the chapter, the book. How's that? He calls himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And which book does he mention that in? What? You're right, Philemon. Paul mentions in Philemon he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now he mentions it in Ephesians as well, chapter 3, where he mentions him, and multiple other times he mentions that he's a prisoner in chains. But to the opener, I'd like to turn to the book of Philemon. And a few, I know we all hear messages on Philemon, and I'd like to take this in a different direction. And just an overview of the book of Philemon, that Onesimus was a slave to Philemon. And this book is a letter from Paul to Philemon that Onesimus was going to take back with him, returning to his master. So Onesimus had ran away from his master Philemon, and he was not a Christian at the time. He ran away, and he stumbled into Paul's dwelling, where Paul was a prisoner. He was a prisoner in his own house, is what we believe. And so he runs. Onesimus runs to Paul, and Paul takes him. And in verse 10, Paul converts him. He says, "I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, which I have begotten while in my chains." And that's not talking about Paul giving birth to Onesimus, but Paul is the earthly father, the one who directed Philemon to be saved. And Philemon has Onesimus has a completely has changed in a couple different ways. And Paul sends him back to Philemon and says, take Onesimus in the Lord as you would take me. If he has wronged you, put it on my bill, etc. But in this chapter, can anyone find a verse, find something in a verse to back it up of how Paul has mentioned that Onesimus has changed since he's been saved? In Philemon. So in Philemon, how Onesimus has been changed.
Verse 16
is one. He's no longer a slave, but he's a beloved brother. And there's one more that I found. 11. Very good. Who was once unprofitable to you, but is now profitable to you and me. And those are two thoughts that I wanted to expound on this morning about how how Onesimus has changed since he's been saved, and how that could translate to us as we have been saved. But the first question is, have you been saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? What have you done with Jesus? When you've encountered Jesus in your life, how have you treated him? The most important question is not what have you done with your career, or where did you go to school, or even where is your investments in. But the most important decision is what have you done with Jesus Christ? And that's the decision that each of us faces. And we have a decision to make. Do we accept him or do we reject him? And praise the Lord, here in this chapter, Onesimus chose to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And no one better to do that than Apostle Paul himself, right? And many of us have been saved through Paul's writings. Paul's writings have saved many of us in this room. Romans. You're very, very apt for that. But the first thought is in verse 11, he talks about Onesimus, who was once unprofitable to you, but is now profitable to you and to me. And my first thought is, and I want to expound on this and limit this in some way, but you're not profitable to the kingdom of God unless you're born again. One who's born again is profitable to the kingdom of God. We know that everyone who is unsaved, God mentions their works are as filthy rags, right? And even if you try to do your best, your works are as filthy rags. It's not until you have the righteousness of God inside you where God can actually look at you and proclaim you righteous. Even if you do good things in the world, there's some amazing people in the world, some people who do really great things. Think of these scientists and people who are really smart. But the question I have is, are they saved? Are they truly saved? Is their profit in this world? Or does their profit extend into the kingdom of God? And what's the most important? When this world goes away and they stand before Jesus Christ, will they have anything to show? Or will everything be burned up? Now, I want to say God can use some unsaved person for his glory. Think of Pharaoh, who was not saved, but God used Pharaoh as the channel that let Israel escape out of Egypt. And think of some really evil tyrants in this world. Think of Stalin or the people who were oppressing the Jews or the Christians, and they are not saved, but God has used them to really grow the church. Think of churches right now today, being grown by growing and expanding in the eastern part of the world by unsaved people. But those unsaved people themselves are not profitable. They're not gaining anything for themselves for the kingdom of heaven or the work of God. Now God is using them. You think someone like some pioneers like Bill Gates, I hate to mention his name, but Bill Gates. But think about the amazing successes he's done with Microsoft and people like him who have really, we would not have the technology we have if it were not for people like him, Stephen Hawking, and different people who we don't believe were Christians. Are they profitable? Were they profitable for the kingdom of God? And I submit to you, they were not. They were profitable for this world, in this world's eyes, but in the kingdom of God, they were not profitable. But in God's eyes, you have someone lowly. Think of someone who is we saw this many different people when we were at our time in Covenant Towers, and I'm sure Neil knows some people, who take the patient in, who are really, they're very humble, these little old ladies who come and sit with these elderly people. And the world passes them by, doesn't even mention them. But if one of them is saved and prays and bears fruit, they are more profitable to the kingdom of God than someone like a Bill Gates or someone like a Stephen Hawking or others who are not saved. The widow, little widow, just gave the two mites. And God looked at her and realized that and blessed her. Whereas these Pharisees who were proclaiming and trumpeting all the monies that they would give, they turned around and crucified Jesus Christ. Now God, of course, used their actions, but they were profitable. The point is that once you're saved, you become profitable to the kingdom of God. What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? And again, a lot of this is looking at it from a human point of view, an earthly point of view, versus what God sees. And of course, that's the most important. What does God see in your eyes? Can an unsaved man lay up treasure in heaven? He can't. So you can think about it this way. Once you're saved, your good works are now being stored in a heavenly bank, not an earthly bank, which will evaporate and go away. So, who is making heaven richer? Are you making heaven richer? And an unsaved person cannot store up, cannot make heaven any richer, cannot put lay away treasure in heaven. But we can. Those of us who are saved, we can lay away treasure in heaven, make heaven more make profit, make heaven richer by laying up treasure there in heaven's bank. So I thought I'd open it up for a few comments. If anyone has some comments, then we'll go to the second point. Does anyone have any thoughts that they would like to share?
I was thinking of Onesimus. What a shock it must have been for him when he was led to a cell and there he saw Paul. He must have met Paul and seen Paul in the house of Philemon many times, but he ran away from it. He abandoned it. Here, the prison opened up, and there he was sitting next to Paul. That would have been a miracle. And all the people in that prison, why did he get next to Paul? God had a job for him.
God sent him right into Paul's arms, right into Paul.
And he put him there. You know, I often, when I think of that, I think of Elizabeth, how she was brought into a home that loved the Lord and also loved music. And that was a miracle, too. And when I think of Philemon, I often think of that miracle as well.
Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
It's from another book. But it says, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which have been done. That makes me think, with Onesimus and all of us, unless you're born again, you cannot even see
anything. That's right. No, you can't understand. Paul mentions that, that in 1 Corinthians, he expounds on that thought. So. But so once you're saved, you become profitable to the kingdom of God, and of course your own soul as well. Secondly, verse 16, Paul says, he is no longer a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to be called a part of the family of God? Once you're saved, you not only have an earthly family, but you have a heavenly family, and a family for all eternity. And the blessing that that is to the blessing of fellowship, as we experienced this morning as we came here, iron sharpening iron, the accountability that we have one with another, and the encouragement we can have. The unsaved, those who are not saved, have no idea what they're missing out on, do they? They may have an earthly family, but do they have a heavenly family? And they don't. We sing a song around Hamilton. I won't quote it, but he's saying there's a whole song about I'm adopted. I'm part of the family of God. And it's beautiful verses. It's in our blue book. There's some amazingly connected people in this world, aren't there? There are some people who have family names. Think of back in the early 19th century, Rockefellers and different people who know, who just have all this wealth. And if your last name is that, you know, think of Barron Trump. He's a young fella. He's a smart guy. He's done a lot of good. But just think of, he has family connections, doesn't he? He's got a lot of family connections, to put it mildly. But the question is, when this world is over, how much family will he have left? After this world, if he does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's an orphan. He has no family, no one to call his father or his mother. Now, but if he's saved, he will belong to the family of God. And that's my point. When someone is saved, they belong to the family. John 3, verse 3, ye must be born again. We are all born once into this world and physically. But Jesus Christ proclaims that each of us must be born a second time into the family of God. That family will last for eternity. And praise the Lord, everyone in here that I know of is my is family, not only earthly but spiritually. And we are all children of the Heavenly Father, and we can all praise the Lord for that. But those who are not saved, they have no family to look forward to, do they? They may be connected here in this world, and again, they may be profitable here in this world, but once they pass away, what family will they have left? And how tears will flow one day for a lost soul that enters eternity without a family, and how awful that is. I'm thankful that I'm blessed here to have a wonderful family here, but there are some people in this world who are complete orphans. They don't even know who their father or mother is, and how terrible that is. But of course, God gives grace, and once they're saved, they're part of the family of God. But I'll tell you what's much worse than that is being an orphan spiritually and not having a heavenly father, not having a family. And once you leave this world, you will not have a family. After Christ comes, what family do you have left? Paul tells Onesimus now he's still a slave, so he still has earthly responsibilities. We are still part of our, government. We still live in life and stuff, but we have a bond that's much deeper than that, much richer than that. And even today, up in heaven, Onesimus is not a slave anymore, but he's a brother. He's a brother in Christ. And we can be thankful for that. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
Any? Can I share something?
Go ahead, Tom.
I ran into a point about this yesterday. I think so many of us look forward to getting together, being with them. Mm-hmm. When we think about some of our neighbors who are religious, mm-hmm. they run the church. Mm-hmm. They run back, mm-hmm. and they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. They're so lost. Mm-hmm. We're really blessed.
Mm-hmm. We're very blessed. Very blessed. There's a hymn. Anyone have any thoughts before? I have a hymn that I read before a few months ago, but I'd like to read it again. And it's "I'm So Glad I'm Part of the Family of God" by Bill Gaither. And the words are great. We don't really sing the verse very often, but here's the verse in the chorus. "From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm a part of the family of God." In conclusion, praise God that things change after salvation. That once we are saved, we no longer go our way. We make a change. Our eyes are opened, and we are free. It's a paradox here in this chapter that Onesimus goes back into bondage under Philemon, a free man. He's no longer a slave, but he's a free man. Think of him as running away. He thought he was free. But he was still in bondage to sin. But now being he cast those chains aside and took upon his responsibilities again. And I'm not going to go into the whole slave master versus type of thing, but the whole slave aspect was a lot different than we think of today. That's a whole rabbit trail we won't go down. But it was his place to go back and serve his master. But he was a free man. Salvation makes us profitable to God and part of the family of God. And our challenge, and finally I'll close with this, is that when somebody comes into our life, maybe someone who's looking for freedom, someone who is not saved, and trying to find freedom, trying to find that answer, and they run into our arms, do we, like Paul, look at this person and try to make him a brother? Try to make him a sister? We have colleagues, people we work alongside, and people we see all the time at the store, our neighbor. Are they part of the family of God? Are they your brother? If not, our goal should be making them our brother and our sister, and making them part of the family of God, and making them, and once they are saved, to lay up treasure in heaven and make heaven richer. So let me give thanks. Heavenly Father, thank you for these thoughts that we've had, or these brief moments we've shared in Philemon, and thank you for the change that we've had since we've been saved. I pray that these thoughts would spur us on to reach the lost for Christ. And if there's someone God lays in our path this week, that we would speak to the gospel with him, just like Paul gave the gospel to Onesimus and made him a brother. And pray that the kingdom of God would grow and be richer by the salvation of one lost soul. We thank you for this time. Thank you for salvation. And thank you for that we're all part of the family of God. In your precious name I pray. Amen.